This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seriously, God, that one hurt badly. Still hurting. 12, 13 hours after it happened? 14 hours? 13 and a half hours after it happened? Good morning, I guess. Chris is in for Denton. Denton's off in Austin, Texas, having a bachelor weekend. He gets married next month. Not next month. April. Early April. You've got to be kidding me. 65 feet? Seriously? Look, I'm going to get to the thoughts on this game. Some of you, by the way, are just the worst. Oh, I tuned into my first Maryland game because Sheehan's been building him up and it wasn't anything like he described. You're right. It wasn't last night anything like what I've described. You've missed it. But I think it'll come back. Michigan State deserved to win the game. I will start with that. That shot, by the way, was not the Corey Lucius shot in terms of pain inflicted from the 2010 tournament when Draymond Green threw a pass over Summers' head as he ducked and Corey Lucius knocked down a three-point game-winning second-round NCAA tournament dagger to end the careers of Gravis Vasquez, Eric Hayes, and Landon Milborn for a team that looked like it was poised to make a deep run. The whole draw had opened up. Michigan State went on to the Final Four. The winner of that game was probably going to go on to the Final Four, and Michigan State hit that shot. That's probably the most devastating Maryland loss of my adult life. As a child, when they lost NC State in the ACC final in the classic 74 ACC final, that was devastating. But what Corey Lucius did to us 15 years ago, this coming March, was horrible. And by the way, did you know, Maryland fans, that last night was the first game-winning shot at the buzzer that Michigan State has had since the Corey Lucius buzzer beater in 2010. You know, Maryland's had a couple against them too. Mello hit a three to beat them in College Park. Anthony Cowan, what he did to Michigan State in East Lansing back in 2020 with the three threes in the final, you know, minute and a half, it wasn't buzzer beater, but it was an incredible moment. Look, Maryland does not have a rival in the Big Ten. That's one of the big issues with Maryland basketball. I mean, there are a lot of deep-seated issues, and it's a long conversation as to what Maryland basketball is today versus what it was when Gary was here. And by the way, the team was in the ACC. You know, there's a lot there. But one of the real stark differences is that Maryland doesn't have rivals in basketball. Maryland is a basketball-first school. There are, what, a dozen of them in the Power Four? Maybe not even a dozen in the Power Four. We're basketball for the students and the alums. And by the way, the market in general has always been more important than football. Doesn't mean that football isn't important to a Maryland fan and a Maryland alum and a lifelong Maryland, you know, person. They've had great runs in football. Bobby Ross, Ralph Friedgen, and Lox has had some success. I mean, they won three straight bowl games after being essentially a near-dead program. He resurrected it. But Maryland's a basketball-first school. Everybody knows that. And anybody that would say the opposite is an idiot. But the program has changed. And one of the reasons it's changed is it doesn't have a rival. In the ACC, obviously Duke was a massive rival, but so were North Carolina, Virginia, NC State. There was a long 60-year tradition of playing these schools. And it wasn't all 60 years where it mattered. But pretty much from the 1970s until Maryland left the ACC, I was looking at, you get stuff on social media, and Cliff Tucker, God rest his soul because he passed away a few years ago, Cliff Tucker hit an unbelievable buzzer-beating shot to beat Georgia Tech 15 years ago during that 2010 season. It was Georgia Tech, okay? The place was packed to the rafters. Now, Maryland was ranked. They were a really good team. That was the year that Gravis Vasquez won ACC Player of the Year, and Maryland shared with Duke an ACC championship regular season. That's also the year they got knocked out in the second round by Michigan State, and Corey Lucius. But the stretch there, they had games against Clemson and Georgia Tech. I mean, the place, it was impossible to get into the joint. And those weren't really perceived rivals, but you still had a history with those teams. So now we've been in the Big Ten for 11 years, and we've played in some pretty big games, and we've finished very high in the Big Ten and won or shared in a Big Ten regular season title in 2020. But over the course of time, and I've mentioned this when, you know, Turge and his run ended, Mark Turgeon was the winningest coach in the Big Ten when he was the coach of Maryland in the Big Ten. He was the third winningest coach behind Izzo and Matt Painter. All right, Maryland won a lot in the Big Ten, a lot in the regular season. Not enough in the Big Ten tournament. Understood. Not enough in the NCAA tournament. I get it. But Maryland's been a very strong addition to Big Ten basketball, but still, it does not have a rival. But I'll tell you what, man, for me, over the years, and part of it is some of the games they played when they weren't in, you know, conference matchup games. Maryland's played Michigan State, and they played them a lot prior to joining the Big Ten. They played them in the 2003 NCAA tournament as the defending champs. Maryland is the last team currently in the Big Ten to have won a national championship. That's right. Not one Big Ten team has won a national championship since Maryland won in 2002. Obviously, Maryland was an ACC school. The Big Ten team that last won a title that's always been a Big Ten team was Michigan State when they won it in 2000, right? 2000. And then Duke won it in 01. Maryland won it in 02. But in the 2003 defending championship season, Maryland lost in the Sweet 16 to Michigan State on a shot with 4.7 seconds to go, and then Blake had a wide-open look from three, you know, about 6-7 feet behind the three-point line, but a pull-up three at the buzzer to move Maryland to the Elite Eight as the defending champs, and it was just a bit long and off. And then Maryland met Michigan State again in the tournament in 2010 and lost on a buzzer beater. And then Maryland's first game in the Big Ten was at Michigan State in December of 2014. Dez Wells hit an impossible shot at the buzzer in regulation to force overtime. Maryland won in double overtime. They've had a lot of games against Michigan State that have felt big. They've played them twice in the Big Ten semifinals, lost both of them. Mello beat them at the buzzer. Cowan had the memorable finish. One of the all-time regular season memorable finishes was Anthony Cowan in East Lansing in February of 2020. You know, the season that last for Maryland had a chance to really go a long way. The next year they lost in the second round. 2 years ago they lost in the second round. Both to Bama, by the way. The one team in the Big Ten that I have as a lifelong Terp that I have just a little bit of a feeling for is Michigan State. Now, do I think they feel the same way about Maryland? No. We're newcomers still. 11 years into this thing, we are still newcomers. That league, look, this is not specific to Maryland. This is happening everywhere, right? With all of the conference changes and reshuffling, rivalries have been lost everywhere, and the feelings of fans towards the games they play are different. They just are. You know, sorry. But Iowa on a Sunday afternoon in 2025 isn't the same, apparently, as Georgia Tech was in 2010. You've been playing Georgia Tech for 30 years. So, last night, though, man, you know, I've heard the game already described in so many different ways. Certainly was not an expected style of play. You know, these were two high-flying, high-scoring teams. Both good defensive teams. Don't get me wrong. Both of these teams were good defensive teams coming in. Michigan State was on a roll. Maryland was on a roll. This was one of the bigger games here in February in the Big Ten. There are more to come, and really the big game is now Michigan State, Michigan to end the season. That game will be in East Lansing. I think Michigan State's better than Michigan. They went on the road Friday night and beat them there. But the style of that game last night, wow, was that a defensive game, man. That was outstanding defensive basketball. If you want to describe it as terrible offensive basketball, what are you talking about? These two teams are great on offense. That was incredible defense. And that's where I would start on the game last night. And by the way, if you want to weigh in on last night's Maryland-Michigan State game, if you were there, I was there last night. The atmosphere was fabulous, fabulous. But 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, if you want to jump on and give any thoughts about what you saw last night with Maryland's loss to Michigan State on a 65-foot three-pointer by Trey Holloman at the buzzer. But here's where I would start. Michigan State deserved the game. They were the better team last night. They were the better defensive team of two teams that played excellent defense. Man, their pick-and-roll defense was outstanding. They are deeper than Maryland. They have a star in Jace Richardson. There's no doubt about that. He is, as a freshman, he is now really starting to come into his own. And I think truly is one of the stars and one of the freshman stars in the game. Their freshman star, Jace Richardson, actually played better than Maryland's freshman star, Derek Queen. Derek Queen looked a little tight. Maryland looked tight early on. You know, the place was electric. I give everybody a lot of credit last night. The 6:30 starts are the worst. They should not schedule 6:30 starts. Maryland, well, until the LA teams moved in to the Big Ten, was the only major metropolitan market in the Big Ten where you had legitimate, sizable fan base, you know, reaction. Rutgers, you know, that's, by the way, that's not New York metro, obviously. It's Jersey. Northwestern is in Chicago or in a suburb of Chicago, but they have a smaller gym. It's not the same thing. And it's really hard. You know, it was an hour and 20 minutes for me from upper Northwest to get to College Park. walked in just after, shortly after tip. I mean, and but the place was, the students did a phenomenal job. Most of you understand this. I've talked about it for years if you're not familiar with it, but Maryland people are. There really isn't, other than maybe a big Caps playoff game, there's no other atmosphere in town that matches College Park for a big Maryland basketball game when they're good. And they've got a big-time opponent, and it's a big-time game. And last night, the atmosphere did not disappoint. Was it the best I've ever seen there? No. Because there wasn't, you know, you didn't have a lot of the runs. It was a grinded-out game. But first, Michigan State was awesome defensively. They were really good. They're deeper. They have seven-footers. They have big dudes that can move. I thought their pick-and-roll defense every time, whether it was Gillespie or Miguel or Rice, the way they ran guys back towards half court in their pick-and-roll defense, I thought was outstanding. I thought their post defense was outstanding on Reese, on Queen. This was not a great game for either one of Maryland's big men. Each of the two big guys turned the ball over three times. Michigan State's defense forced a lot of that. You know, Rodney Rice really, more than anybody else, kept Maryland close, although I give Maryland's defense a ton of credit. I thought Michigan State missed more easy shots than Maryland did. I thought more of Maryland's shots were contested. Fewer of the Michigan State shots, a lot of them were contested. I thought Maryland played outstanding defense too. These two teams combined to go 8 for 35 from behind the arc. I would say of those 35 attempts, I would say every bit of three quarters of them were contested in a major way. Michigan State won the basketball game shooting 33.8% from the field. What does that mean? Well, it means either Maryland stunk on offense or Michigan State was great on defense, or a combination of both. I think it was more Michigan State was great on defense. Every single one of those guys defend. I've always loved Izzo. Anybody that's ever listened to me over the years, you know how much I think Izzo is the best that there. He and Painter have been the two best in the league. And I just love the grittiness and the toughness of Michigan State year in and year out. I mean, you can't play for that dude unless you are tough. And they've got another tough team, even though it's not a star-laden team. Although Richardson, and apparently he was cramping up at the end and, you know, he's coming in and out. But I thought Michigan State's defense and their offensive rebounding were the two difference makers in the game. I give them much more of the credit for the win than Maryland not playing well or being off offensively for the loss. Now, from a Terp standpoint, excellent defensively much of the night. Now, towards the second half, whether it was Akins or whether it was Richardson or whether it was Fears or whether it was Holloman himself, they were getting a bit too close inside the paint. You know, getting the matchups they wanted, getting defenders on their back, getting close to the rim. They missed some of those shots. I also thought Maryland got the benefit of a ton of calls down the stretch. I mean, they came back from 55-48 down at the free throw line, and a couple of those calls were questionable, including after the turnover on the press, where Rodney Rice did a good job of picking off that pass by Holloman. And then Gillespie got fouled by Holloman. That looked like a clean pick. I watched the game back when I got home last night, as painful as that was. But I thought that Maryland did a nice job. You know, Maryland shot 31.3% from the floor. This is a very good shooting team. They shot 20% from behind the arc. They've been shooting at 46% recently. They were 4 for 20. So for them to have the ball in their hands at the end of the game with the clock winding down and the score tied, that's a testament that they were still in that game despite not being able to score for the first time, you know, in months, really since the Washington game. Now, the end. Maryland gets the stop, and Gillespie has the ball, and there is no doubt that he took the shot too early. With that said, I'm not going to kill him for this. You know, you lost on a 60 to 65 foot shot at the buzzer. You know, sure, if he takes that shot 1 second later, there's no opportunity for that. But let me just tell you, Gillespie didn't have a clean look the entire night. That was about as clean a look as he got. I would have preferred that he drive the ball in that situation. He had been, you know, feasting at the free throw line. They had given him a bunch of calls. There was an opportunity to drive the basketball. But we've seen, you know, Gillespie's an excellent shooter. An excellent shooter. And we've seen game winners, Mello and Cowan, guys in that building pull up and take deep threes. And sometimes you're like, what? And then they knock it down. In the moment when Gillespie took it, now it was a frenzy after Maryland got the stop. You know, I didn't really see that he took it with 4.8 or went into the motion, you know, at five left. Obviously, hindsight, you know, being 2020, you certainly would have loved him to have driven the ball. First of all, that takes a little bit more time. You got a chance to get fouled. You got a chance to get Miguel's defender to, you know, slough off, and you can make that play to Miguel. It seemed, though, really, when you consider what you watched last night, that was about as open a look as Gillespie had. I can't kill him for that. 60 feet. By the way, I had the perfect angle. I saw when it left his hands that it was good if it went, because I saw that the clock still was, you know, tenths of seconds left. And right when it left his hand, because I was kind of behind him, or at an angle, but behind him, but I could see it was online. And then you still don't expect it to go in, but it did. And the Terps lost. Look, this is still a good basketball team. I watched Izzo's press conference late last night. You know, Izzo doesn't really do what Krzyzewski used to do, which was obnoxious. You know, when Duke would come in and win, you know, a hard-fought, close game in front of that kind of a crowd, Krzyzewski would tell everybody how great Juan Dixon was, and Steve Blake, and Gary's the best, and the crowd is phenomenal, and the whole thing, and how great Maryland is. I mean, that was his MO. I mean, he would just completely, you know, bathe the opponent that he just beat in flowers afterwards. That's not Izzo's style at all. But Izzo said last night, quote, this team is going to win a lot of games. It's a really good basketball team. And it is. It was an odd way that the way the game unfolded. Remember, in these conference games, even though Maryland hasn't played Michigan State this year, they're very familiar with one another. The coaching in the Big Ten, I've been talking about this for years, is so good, and teams are so well scouted. And so there's a lot of that in these games, especially when you get late in the year and you got a lot of tape. You know, everybody knows what you're running. It's different in the NCAA tournament, especially in the early rounds. Two good basketball teams last night. Not the prettiest of games, because it felt very much like a rock fight. But man, if you like defense, it was excellent. I thought Maryland's defense was outstanding. I thought Michigan State's defense was incredible, because Maryland's been impossible to guard for basically 6-7 weeks. Impossible to guard. All right, if you want to weigh in, 301-230-0980. What's your takeaways from Maryland's loss to Michigan State? Was this some sort of wake-up call as to, well, they're going to get beat up by, you know, a physical, aggressive, long, athletic, deep kind of a team? Or was it just one night? 301-230-0980, your calls next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Maryland may not have a rival in the Big Ten. I would agree with anybody that said that. But, man, they have played some memorable games against Michigan State, going back to when they were in the ACC. That was 15 years ago this coming March, as in a few weeks away. One of the more devastating losses in Maryland basketball history. It ended the career of one of their greatest players, Gravis Vasquez, who scored the team's final 12 points to rally Maryland to a one-point lead. Izzo's on the floor trying to call timeout. They didn't give it to him. Draymond Green passes to Corey Lucius, and this guy Summers, it's about to hit him in the head, and ducks at the last second. Lucius catches it, fires it, and drains it at the buzzer to send Michigan State on to the Sweet 16. They would eventually go on to the Final Four, and it sent the Terps home. That's the worst. Last night was a gut punch, no doubt about it, but it is only the regular season. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Any Terps, Michigan State, losing on a 60-foot shot at the buzzer. Trey Holloman, who, by the way, all night long after he airballed a shot early in the game, the fans doing the airball chant every time he touched it, and yet there he was at the end. If you want to weigh in on Maryland and what they are right now as a team, this, by the way, from Jay, who writes, this is the same thing we see every year when they get matched up against a team with size and length, they wilt. This from Michael, who said, you asked the other day Kevin Willard what kind of team would give him trouble. Well, we saw it last night. Yeah, it's something that we've actually talked about, which is what kind of team would give Maryland trouble? Maybe a long, athletic, aggressive defensive team. I've pointed out teams like Houston, Tennessee, Texas A&M in the tournament. Michigan State fits the bill. All right, my guy Hayden. Let's start with Hayden. What's up? I know you were there last night. Sorry I missed you.
That's okay. I was right under that basket. Ball came right at me. Like you said, as soon as it left his hands, it was so dead online, you knew it was going in. That's the second one that hit me this week. I lost a buzzer beater earlier this week in the high school playoffs, Virginia high school playoffs with Annandale. We lost to West Springfield. So that's been a rough week for me. But Kevin, big picture, when I left the building 5 years ago in 2020, when we lost that game on the Saturday night to Michigan State, I thought we were cooked. They were better than us 5 years ago. That Jalen Smith, Anthony Cowan team, they got beat that night. I thought we were not going to beat that team again if we saw them a few weeks later. But last night I had the opposite feeling. I thought we were the better team, more talented team. I don't want to say the better team. And I think we can beat anyone in the country. We got to get Queen to stop taking these bad shots. Let's start with that. He took at least six bad shots last night. He didn't have a good night. He didn't play his best game. Either did Reese. And if we don't get good nights from Reese or Queen, we're in trouble. But the second thing I got to say, Kevin, is we have the worst student section in the country. Point blank. Last night they showed up.
Who did last night? It was right.
I don't care, Kevin. Why did they show up last night and never ever? 2 weeks ago for the Rutgers game, I walked in 15 minutes before tip-off, and I sit in 118
next to the wall. Because it's Rutgers at noon on a football Sunday.
There was no football. I don't think there was.
Wasn't it Super Bowl Sunday? Was it not Super Bowl Sunday?
I can't remember. All these days are blending in right now.
Yeah.
All I remember is I walked in. It was President's Day weekend. It was the weekend afterwards. It was no football that day.
Okay.
The building was empty. The wall was empty. These kids don't care. I'm just sorry. They're never there.
It was Super Bowl Sunday.
I could have sworn it was President's Day weekend.
No, it was February 9th. I'm looking it up right now. It was Super Bowl Sunday at noon against Rutgers.
I apologize. Iowa game. My apologies. It was the Iowa game then, the week afterwards. Okay. There was nobody there. There was no one there. And that's a Sunday afternoon in the middle of February. And then don't forget, these are the same students who aren't there for 6 weeks because they have the long winter break.
Hayden, the season ticket holders aren't there a lot of the time.
Kevin, I've been at more Maryland basketball games than anyone.
I know you have, but how many nights, especially with a 6:30 start? The USC game, you had season ticket holders that weren't in the. You saw the spottiness of the crowd for that one.
Well, that's a whole.
It's not just the students.
I'm not going to disagree with you. The alumni have lost some interest over the last 10 years. The Terps never hurt us. We all know that. The students are students. Kevin, look around the country. We're the only big school in the country that can't get our students to show up every night. We're the only ones. I don't understand it. Look at the football game.
That's not true, by the way. That's not even close to true. You're exaggerating. You're talking about the of major basketball schools? Yes. If you want to say of the big-time basketball schools, that's accurate.
Well, don't we think we're a big-time basketball school?
I'd like to think that we are, but I think the statement is accurate if you're talking about true basketball schools, which I think Maryland is one of them. Yes, we post when it's a big event, when it's a big game. That's what it's become. It's become more bandwagon-y since joining the Big Ten, really.
Well, there's a lot of blame to go around for that. We need to fix it because that's not who Maryland is. And I was proud of what we did last night. But again, the bigger picture, like we said, is this team can win it all, Kevin. The five guys, the starters five, are as good as any five guys in the country. We've just got to figure out a way to score more points in these bigger moments. And our shots a lot. You go back to the Villanova game earlier this year. The first half, we were down 20 points because we couldn't take that good shots.
Hayden, in that, you had a lot of that shot clock winding down. Their defense was exceptional all night long. I disagree with your first statement. I think Michigan State deserved to win the game, but I also agree
with
you that Maryland's extremely talented, and we're going to look back on it and say that this was, they're going to win a bunch here over the next month. I believe that too.
I do too, but you and I both know that Queen is taking way too many long jumpers, that Nowitzki fadeaway that almost went in with about 3 minutes to go.
I like these shots that he takes.
You do? I'm sorry.
He's got great touch on that little fadeaway one-foot thing, that Euro shot. Look, he tried to hit some threes last night because the shot clock was winding down and they couldn't get anything with the guards and they were leaving him to take that. I think he's got to shoot that, Hayden. I think he's got to
We've got to get him more in five outs. There's not one big guy in the country that can guard this guy in the perimeter. This guy goes around every single big guy using his footwork. We just don't use it enough. And last night I thought we went away from that. He used really good footwork the first few minutes, and then you look up out end of the first half, and we hadn't gone to him. He hadn't gone inside for about 15 minutes, and he kind of disappeared for some moments. But, hey, bigger picture, Kevin, like I said, I think this team can go deep in March. I really do.
I do, too. Thank you, Hayden. Good to hear your voice. Let's go to Bruce in Glen Burnie. Bruce, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
That's
Bruce, you're on.
Glen Burnie. Hello. Yeah, that's Rudy in Glen Burnie.
Rudy, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rudy.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I enjoyed the game. I had all three games on, really. I'm really a Georgetown fan, but watching the game, I was wondering, I was looking at the centers, and I saw one at the line, and I'm like, how tall are they? Because they were moving out, as you were saying earlier, moving out, pushing the guards back when they were trying to set them pick, and getting back, to the centers, where they wouldn't have that pick and roll. So I'm like, wow, they really moving for big centers.
Oh, they got, yeah. They got two, I think one of them 6'11", the other two are 7 feet. But they're deep, they play 10 guys, all 10 guys scored, by the way, for them. But I thought their pick and roll defense was phenomenal. I thought their post defense was phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's why Queen and Reese didn't get off like they usually do. Usually in those games they dominating. They dominating inside, but they had so many big guys guys who could move. It made it tough on them. But like you said, that half court shot, the guy threw the ball away the first time, and he threw it away. Then he got picked. And they scored again, and then he throws up a half court shot that goes in. The game was just amazing. I enjoyed it. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Thanks, Rudy. Appreciate it. It was more than a half court shot. I think it was measured at 62 feet. So that was That was in the backcourt that he shot that. And yeah, he had the turnover on the press that where Rodney Rice got the steal. And then I didn't really notice it when I was there because I was at the game, but when watching it back, and even Robbie Hummel said after the game, that was a clean pick. You know, he recovered and had the clean pick. It actually knocked off Gillespie's thigh, and they called a foul. Maryland got some calls last night down the stretch, but by the way, you're supposed to at home in a game like that. Let's go to Mike and Frederick. Mike, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. First, I wanted to congratulate you. You've done an excellent job this morning describing the game last night and correcting the one caller. I haven't been to a game since the Rutgers game, but I was at Rutgers on Super Bowl Sunday. It was a great crowd. And because it was a 12 o'clock game, your boy SVP was up in the stands with his family right behind me. Very gracious. But I've been so impressed with the perimeter shooters. I thought Maryland would never have an off game because we have three lights out shooters. And even just having one, Rice, kept us in the game. But what I was surprised, like you said, with Michigan State's defense, how were they able to dig down on Reese and Queen and still get back and rotate and contest almost every three-point shot?
It was
remarkable, I thought.
Yeah. To your point, too, I've said this a couple of times in recent weeks. And Izzo said it after the game and said it going into the game. He said, this is the hardest team, you know, to guard in the league, maybe in the country, which is why he was so adamant that his team deserved to win that game because of the defense that it played. And it was outstanding. But to your point, like the ball's going into the post, and we've seen, you know, Reese really feast down there. Queen, same thing, or Queen in that, you know, mid, you know, area, you know, starting at the elbow. And even when they, you know, got help, and if they didn't get help, they guarded them well. If they got help, they still recovered on shooters. Their defense, I thought it really started with, you know, the perimeter pick and roll defense. They just kept running Gillespie off that pick and roll. You know, they were trying to run him to the half court line, which is, you know, the way it's kind of taught more times than not, especially if you've got a guy that you're not going to go underneath on, because you wouldn't go underneath on Gillespie. But a hell of a game defensively, but, you know, not the game I was expecting. I thought we were going to see, you know, 78, 80 points for both of them. I really did. Thanks, Mike. Right.
Hey, Kevin, one other point talking about the little bit of history and a little bit of tradition we have. You know, you're probably aware, I guess it'll only hype up since, Michigan State signed two seniors out of our backyard to come in next year, and Cam Ward and Jordan Scott. And also, I'm glad you touched on the game 5 years ago. I'm a big fan of Barry Wright in the post, but I think he got a little, maybe he was under the deadline, but 5 years ago, we lost at home, but we beat him out there, right?
Yeah, we beat him 2 weeks earlier. And, you know, that was the Anthony Cowan game. Cowan had three threes in the final minute 40 or final 2 minutes. And we rallied from seven down to win by five or six, you know, going away. It was that's a memorable game. We've beaten them a bunch.
Exactly.
You know, it's not like the game at home 5 years ago, it was an electric atmosphere. Game day was there. It was a Saturday night game. You remember, I mean, people were lubed up, and it was one of those nights. And Michigan State came out, punched us in the mouth from the beginning, and the game, they were never in it. I would have loved to have seen what would have happened in a Big Ten final or a Big Ten semifinal had we had that opportunity, but obviously we didn't get a chance to participate in the postseason that year. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Let me go to Jeff in Vienna. Jeff, go ahead.
Another rock side against Michigan State, Kevin. What are you going to say? You know, the fact that that ball didn't even hit the rim and the sound of it going through the net, I was like, oh, this is – it just reminded me of the Nate James tipping game at the ACC tournament back
Nate
in the
James,
day. When Juan got that – he got that tip, and he was at half court. He let it fly, and even Coach K was like, I thought that ball was in for sure.
Just short. Just dead on hit the front of the rim.
Exactly. And, you know, I think last night, right now, I think Lenardi has us up against St. John's in the second round. It's too early to talk about that. Last night is going to prepare you for playing a team like St. John's that
Agreed.
Will just eat you up off the ball all
Agreed.
Night long.
Yes.
Yeah, and that I would love to see Michigan State play St. John's in the tournament. That would be a must-watch game. But I think the real positive of last night is it teams in the tournament that played lockdown defense like that, watch that film last night, and let's get ready for the teams when March rolls around.
I think, look, they had not been guarded like that for a long time. I mean, maybe Marquette. I mean, I they hadn't been guarded like that at any point this year. So you're going to get guarded like that in a tournament. The SEC has multiple excellent defensive teams. Tennessee, A&M. I mean, you know, then Arkansas, if they make it. And then a team like Houston. I mean, their perimeter guys at Houston, the Kelvin Sampson team, they're all long, physical. So they hadn't faced that. So I'm with you. I think that was good that they had a chance to face it. I don't think Queen's been muscled around like that all year. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll take a few more calls. Rafael Davis, who does a great job on the Big Ten Network, is going to join us at 11. I'm going to play a chunk of my interview with Ted Leonsis, which I did on my podcast, him talking about how he's handling the Wizards' process of stinking for a few years. You'll hear that on the show. Ryan Fowler covers the draft for CBS Sports. He'll join us at 12:25. But if you're on hold, we'll take a few more calls on the stunning 62-foot game-winning shot last night by Trey Holloman as Michigan State downed Maryland 58-55. Rafael Davis from the Big Ten Network. He was in studio last night. Will join me at 11. We'll get some football next hour and during the 12 o'clock hour as well. Chris is in for Denton. Let's go to D.C. in Accokeek. D.C., thanks for holding, man. Go ahead.
Great day, Kevin. How are you?
I'm well, man. Good to hear your voice.
That's good. Likewise, man. I'm a little disappointed in how we played last night. I mean, we played well enough to be in the game, but we didn't play to win. Settling for too many jump shots. When they were closing out, we should have drove to the basket. That'll open up for an easy bucket inside if the big man comes out to help out. And then we need to get them in a little more foul trouble and go to the line more. Like, I didn't see the aggressiveness on the offensive end. On defense, we definitely played solid on the defensive end. And we weren't getting any offensive rebounds, so you can't keep taking jump shots if your guys can't crash the boards, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things. Number one, Maryland shot 26 free throws last night. That's number one. They missed a couple of front ends of one-on-ones, which hurt overall, and Queen missed three big ones, but still he was 6-9 from the free throw line. Secondly, that team, you know, that with the seven-footers and the size, it's not easy to get to the rim and finish. And, yeah, they were getting run off the three-point line, but they were getting run off back towards half court. It was a rough night against a very good defensive team who played exceptionally well defensively. Maryland, you know, even when they had open looks, there weren't many of them. I mean, a couple of the plays that he called up for Rice, especially that one out after the timeout, I think it was the one that tied it at 39 in the second half. I mean, Rice was huge for them, but it was that, you know, things were contested. They altered shots. They blocked some shots early. And as far as the rebounding goes, I think, you know, Michigan State's defense and their offensive rebounding were the keys. There was that one possession where they missed a free throw and they got the offensive rebound and they essentially had three or four shots at it, you know, on one, you know, a possession. That hurt. Look, I don't want to lose. I'm sitting here. I was last night hurt, and I don't want to lose to them. I think Maryland, though, I don't come away from the game thinking that Maryland isn't what I thought they were before. But I know the kind of team that can disrupt them offensively. We saw it last night. A deep team with size and length and quickness. And they got disrupted, no doubt. But they still had the ball with a chance to win the game on a night in which they shot 31.3% from behind, from the field. Yeah, go ahead, DC.
What What do you think that could, because I thought we would win the game by at least in between 3 to 6 points. What do you think we could do to change that or have a better outcome when we face them again in the tournament or you know, in March Madness?
You saw what I think Willard wanted to do at the beginning of the second half. You know, both teams. I mean, the first half was painful, but it was all or mostly defensive influenced. Right. It was 23-21 at half. He came out, they went right inside, and Reese didn't finish on a couple of those shots, and he's been finishing all year. He's been getting to the line. He went to the free throw line once, and it was the front end of a 1-1, and he missed it. You know, he's been shooting free throws really well. So I think Willard would look at that and say, we gotta be more productive inside. Julian's going to have to do what he's done whenever they have struggled, even for a period of time, shooting the basketball. They've had the option of going inside to Reese or going inside to Queen or getting the ball to Queen at the elbow and letting him operate from there. But last night, Reese was 2 for 7 and shot one free throw. So that hurt. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Chris in Damascus. Chris, go ahead. Chris.
I'm usually one of your regulars, and I'm not the – you do great with Maryland. I thought, though, heck, the score at halftime was like a high school game. I thought I'm not trying to blame, but I agree with the previous caller who said this is a good kind of wake-up call perhaps for, you know, the tournament, and it'll be interesting to see how they do against Michigan. So let's see how they go here forward. But it's Shelton Miguel getting kind of in foul trouble – I thought was really important. I thought that was a, I guess, kudos to Izzo and the way they forced Queen out to the perimeter and not let him. I don't know if that's coaching. I don't know if that was all Michigan State, but I thought those were the keys to the game. And appreciate all your support. You're a great promoter for Maryland, bro. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, look, Miguel's foul trouble didn't help. He was trying to go offense, defense there with Deshaun because, look, Deshaun Harris-Smith, he can defend, he can rebound. Right now, they're playing nearly 4-on-5 offensively with him in the game. I actually thought on Gillespie's 3, which he shot too early, I'm not going to kill him for it, though it was about the best open look and one of the only open looks he had all night. But I thought there was a chance for one more pass into the corner to Miguel, who was standing there. Anyway, all right. Rafael Davis, Big Ten Network, next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.